this was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time.
Welcome to Wellness in Dentistry. I'm Dr. Martin Mendelson, a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, and thought leader. And I'm joined by my dear friend and co-host, Dr. Kyle Stanley, who's a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. And if you're unfamiliar with us, I invite you to check out our respective links, websites, and course offerings. Not to mention the fact, if you'd like to hang out with the two of us for 2 days, because as Kyle always says, we're lots of fun, and we are, we're going to be back doing Lightside Live at Glidewell Dental Laboratory in Irvine, California, May 9th and 10th of 2025. And our early bird registration is still valid through the end of January 2025. And so today, what we're going to be talking about is start, stop, or get better to be happier in dentistry. So Kyle, what does that mean?
Yeah, I saw someone speak, and I wish I had wrote down who it was, but they basically said, if you want to be happier in anything, start doing something, stop doing something, or get better at doing something. And so I think between you and I, we have a lot of things that we talk about that fall into three of these buckets. I mean, for me, if I were to just start it out with start doing something, for me, it would be dismissing patients.
This is,
I think, something that has a stigma to it. People are worried about doing it. And so many dentists suffer through these problem patients that you don't make money off of, you can't do good treatment on, and they like erode your practice from the inside out. They can cause team members to leave. They can cause you stress, so you can't be present. You're in bad shape. And I think that that's one thing that dentists need to do is start dismissing patients. We think that the answer is more patients. More patients, more patients, more patients. And just like me, when I was in my practice, if you walked through my door and you had something to treatment plan, I took you as a patient.
Which
is crazy when you think of how other doctors do it, or even other businesses, right? I mean, is this a right fit for my business? So I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, first of all, you just made me think, because I finally found some fantastic Indian food in Phoenix, which has been quite a journey. But it was interesting, though, because as we were sitting there yesterday, they had one of those ubiquitous restaurant signs: we reserve the right to deny service to anyone. And so the minute you started saying that, I was thinking to myself, why are restaurants doing this and we're not? Now, granted, yes, it's not the same thing, I understand. While at the same time, we bear such a burden of cost to not just our mental health, but the mental health of our teams by accepting behavior that's unacceptable directed toward us or directed to our team. And I think when I look at the title through my lens of my happiness certification, it's start doing something, stop doing something, or learn to do something, right? And so it's all about the journey. It's not about that destination. And, you know, I'm sure we can get into it either here or another episode, but the idea is happiness leads to success, not the other way around. And there's research on this too. Luba Mirsky conducted a meta-analysis of 200 studies that comprised 275,000 people worldwide. Different countries, socioeconomic status, education, net worth, IQ, you name it. And the overarching conclusion was that it wasn't where they got in life that made them happy. It was their journey of life that made them happy. So our journey of life in dentistry is our day-to-day existence. And so in the subject of dismissing patients, think about the cost that we are agreeing to bear of our day-to-day existence when we don't get rid of these people who are just causing angst. And so that leads in a whole bunch of other discussions and subjects, but I really want everybody to listen and hear me around the idea that if we keep looking to these goalposts, opening our first practice, opening our second practice, buying our home, buying our first Porsche, hint, hint.
I always get picked on for the
Well,
Porsche
it's
stuff.
an easy target,
And
my
that's,
friend.
yeah, I am an easy target. Yeah.
Yeah. And once we get there, are we going to be happy? Technically, yes. There's something called hedonic adaptation where it will give us a momentary bump in happiness. But guess what? The research shows of lottery winners, once they achieve that $500 million payday, they go back to their normal baseline of happiness, whatever that is for them, within a short period of time. So dentistry is about the journey. We are about the journey. Happiness is about the journey. So start, stop, or learn something to
Well, I love what you
continue.
said about bearing the cost.
Yeah.
And even if we only think financial, okay, let's not even think about emotional, team dynamics, turnover. If we don't even think of that, I would argue that most of these problem patients, you don't make good money on. You may think, oh, well, I'm doing a $10,000 treatment plan, but if you looked at your cost per hour, which we talked about in many previous episodes, and you looked at how much time you spent, for example, talking on the phone with this patient after hours, going back and forth with the lab because they didn't like that distal angle margin and how the embrasure fit, and they wanted it to be just like this, and you're going back and forth, you're making nine different temporaries, and then they're calling your front office team and they're saying, well, I need to reschedule this one, and that's I have all these questions, and da, 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 and you start looking at the emails, you're going back and forth with these patients. And I'm not saying if patients have a lot of questions, just dismiss them, but there are patients that you need to realize what your time is worth, and it may not be worth helping these patients. Especially, and I can't remember if I was talking with you about this or someone else, especially if it's a procedure that you're not efficient in. This could even be another example of stop doing something, right? Would be stop doing procedures that you're not efficient in.
The whole idea of, get better at something. You and I have talked colleagues through the discussion of, I hate dentistry. Well, do you? Is it that you hate dentistry, or what aspects of dentistry do you not enjoy? And so when we think about it, for many of us, it's not that we don't like dentistry. It's the there are certain elements of dentistry that are causing us to be miserable. Now we're focusing more on skills and actions that we're going to start or stop, but we need to be careful of these overarching blanket statements because they don't get to the root of the problem. Or as one of my coaches, Jen and Karen, always say, the thing behind the thing. So what's the thing behind the thing that's actually driving your discontent? And once we realize, haha, or identify that, the first step
Yeah.
in your ripple framework, then we can move forward to either solve or eliminate that to increase our level of happiness and contentment.
Yeah, I mean, you were going right down my alley, which was identifying things that you like and don't like in dentistry. So we're so caught up in this. Dentistry requires a lot of your attention and time that we oftentimes don't take the time to sit, reflect, realize, have the awareness to then say, you know what? God, like for me, was I really hate packing cord. God, I fucking hate packing cord. Like it drives me crazy. Now, if it's cord where the tissue is beautiful and we're just packing cord to make it look a little nicer, but we're not trying to get to that deep margin and it's bleeding and and there's caries down there, like that always drove me crazy. But it took me sitting down, thinking about it, maybe even writing it down to realize that, to then say, oh, is there a way that I could not pack cord? Now, for me, there was, because I have other partners that enjoy doing that. You may not have that luxury, but maybe there's a way that you can refer out certain things that you don't like, or bring in an associate, or in your certain state, maybe you have expanded function or therapists that can do this. So we have to have that self-awareness in order to even start this whole process of start, stop, or get better.
No, 100%, 100%. We need to be honest with ourselves and realize what's going on, and then decide what the next appropriate steps are. Because I mean, the truth of the matter is that as we get more seasoned in practice, or as we age in life, we go through more situations and scenarios, and what anybody who's, you know, starting to get up there like I am starts to realize is that, oh my gosh, those things weren't so bad, or they weren't as challenging. And it's all about perspective. And so there are also times where, frankly, the level of discontent and discomfort has to do with just lack of perspective and experience as well. And so that's where mentorship comes in. That's where study clubs come in. That's where reaching out to colleagues, you know, being a part of the light side club, those kind of things can really help you. And there's a reason why the idea of a study club started in the Ottoman Empire with tradesmen talking about their various trades, the shipbuilders, the blacksmiths, et cetera. That's where study clubs came from. This is not a dental invention. This is a humanistic trade invention from a very long time ago.
Yeah, and I know you were just in New Jersey last week
Yes.
speaking. I'm going to be in Charlotte this week speaking. You and I are in study clubs all over the world,
Yeah.
and we see how if you have a good study club where people are open and honest, you can really gain a lot of value from this. And
Yeah.
what you'll find is that people are talking about, again, if they're open and honest and not just bullshitting, people will be open and honest about these three things we're talking about today,
Yeah.
right? Hey, I started doing this.
Yeah.
Hey, I stopped taking insurance. Hey, I just recently got better at case acceptance or setting expectations or talking with
Yeah.
my team.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost think like you and I could break down everything that we talk about into starting, stopping, or getting
Yeah.
better at doing something.
Yeah. And what I would say too is, because this is being published in the beginning part of 2025, think about actually conducting an inventory. Like in my course, Leadership Mastery, I actually have a tool called Dig Out of the Funk, and it makes you do like a pro con or good bad, whatever, however you want to couch it. And that's where this idea is kind of percolating from, because if there are things that you're being challenged with in practice, make a list. Make a list of, you know, good, bad, and indifferent. So make a list of stuff you like. Make a list of the stuff you're neutral. Make a list of the stuff that, you know, really gets under your skin. Take a look at the list. Think about first, how can I do more of the stuff I like and less of the stuff I don't like? And if less of the stuff I don't like isn't feasible, then what about the stuff I don't like? Is it that I need to increase my skills? Is it that I, you know, need to take a course? Is it that I need to lean on, if you happen to have practice partners or other people in the community? When you start to actually look at it, let's call it in black and white or blue and white, whatever color pen you choose to use, it starts to really put things into perspective, because you start to notice the things you like, the things that, I could take or leave. And what are those things that are driving stress? And only when we definitively identify those can we actually do something about it to drive change.
Yeah, it's funny. As you were saying that, I was thinking of your exercise that you do in your leadership mastery, where you talk about delegating.
Yes.
You
Yeah.
know, it's like you're going through everything you're doing on a day, and any dentist, practice owner, or associate can do the same thing. What am I doing throughout the day? Every little thing that creates a ton of awareness just to see how much you're doing, first
Yeah,
of all.
totally. Totally.
And like you said, say, I really like doing this. I really don't like doing this. What can I delegate? When you
Yep.
delegate stuff, then you just immediately stop doing it. You can
Absolutely.
take that off your plate. If
Yeah.
you can delegate stuff that you don't like to do,
Correct.
that's going back to this theme of today of stop doing it.
Yes.
And if you look at the things like you're saying, okay, I like this, I'm neutral about this, and I dislike this. Take the things that you dislike, and like you said, see if you can get better at that. And as dentists, we may look at that. And let's say one of the examples is quarterly reviews. I don't do quarterly reviews because I hate it. It's uncomfortable. I'm here to tell you guys, everything is a skill.
Oh,
Know
yeah,
anybody that
100%.
came out of the womb that was great at doing quarterly reviews?
Yeah,
No. You know
right.
how they got better? They put time and money and effort into it, and they
Yeah.
got better. Just like how you got better at placing an implant or doing an extraction or suturing or doing a smile design. It's the same thing. And I've had things in my life where I disliked them at the beginning. I put time and money and effort into it.
Totally.
I got better at it. And what's funny is when you get better at things, you end up liking it. It's like, we're humans. We go after pleasure. You're good at
Yes.
something, you get praised for doing it. Then you want to
Yep.
do more of that, right?
Yep. So I want to bring up two things because you made me think about two things that are interesting. Number one, I can hear our listeners thinking, well, delegation, setting that up is going to take me time. Yeah, 100%. So choose your poison, ladies and gentlemen. Do you choose to perennially and forevermore take the time to do the task because you refuse to delegate? Or do you want to take some time? And I have a whole framework how to do this on my course. Take the time to set it up properly, to communicate as effectively as you can, to set up what success looks like, so that in a, depending on the situation, of course, a week, a month, or a quarter, now all of a sudden that's off of your plate, right? So that's fantastic. And you made me think of something else about when you get good at something, et cetera. So for those of you who've seen me speak, I've developed a keynote that's 60 minutes on the science of optimism. I've given this to IvaClar's North American sales team, a subsidiary of UnitedHealthcare. And guess what, folks? I don't use slides. I don't use notes. I have a couple things that are on the floor. And what's interesting is I've given this now well over a half a dozen times. And I've noticed, I don't even think I told you this, Kyle. I've noticed now that my amount of preparation that's needed, because I always prepare, has shrunk dramatically as this stuff has sunk into my noggin. And it's only through repetition that that has occurred. And so I just give that as one little example, because when I was at the LA Dental Symposium in November of last year, I had all these speakers of incredible note from all over the world come up to me and go, "How'd you do that? How do you remember all these studies and quote all these numbers?" I'm like, "I don't know. I just remember it, But it's only because of repetition and it's only because of effort. That's it."
You did it again. You did effort. You put the time. You did it up front, but then it pays off in the end. I did the same thing with my speaking career, which was I wasn't a good speaker. I was a speaker. I wasn't a good speaker. When I tried to, when I made this decision, I think it was back in, I don't know, 2013 or something, where I said, I'm going to take this seriously. What I started doing was preparing. Let's say I was giving an evening course, 90 minutes, study club. I was talking about implants, smile design. I would give that 90-minute course to my dog, where she would sit and look at me. And I would do that 3 times.
Oh,
So I would
yeah.
spend 4.5 hours
Amen.
preparing for a 90-minute course.
Same.
I did that, for a few years. I did that. All of a sudden, got a lot better.
Oh, amen.
Started having
Amen.
people tell me, oh, you're a good speaker. Oh, I like you do this. Oh, gosh, wow. I start to know my topics more. And I remember in clinical dentistry, it was the same thing. I remember thinking, you probably heard people talk about this too, like how little can I pick up the, how many times can I pick up the handpiece? How few times can I pick up the handpiece, I guess is the right way to say it. So instead of using a 2 round burr for a little bit, then changing it to a tapered diamond that's green, then changing it to the red, right? Thinking how many times can I not pick up the handpiece? How little burrs can I use to be more efficient? How many times, if I use a little spoon or I use a little chisel to get the margin, instead of doing that, then refining the margin, then doing it again, can I just do it at the end, right? And all of those little things are something you get better at. And that affects you, but it also affects your patient. They have a better experience, right? Maybe you took it from a 47-minute procedure to a 45-minute procedure. I mean, That's a huge amount of time and percentage when you think about it, right?
Correct.
And
And
over time,
over.
you get that down and down, right?
Yeah.
And your
Yeah.
assistants get ready for that. They know which instrument is best. You're only going to use this instrument one or two times. You're not going to be going back and forth with it. Like, that's an example of getting better at something when we're talking about very clinical dentistry that can really impact how you feel. You can be proud of
Yeah.
yourself. Your team can be proud of you. You save time. Patients get a better experience. They refer more patients. You end up making more
Yeah.
money. The practice
Yeah.
grows.
Yeah. And for those naysayers that are sitting here going, yeah, well, that's not a big deal. Well, guess what? 2 times 20 is 40 in my math. So in that one small, simple example, every 20 units, you've now just added the opportunity to produce another unit.
It's a great point.
How cool is that, right? And I find this in my coaching clients all the time, and I've found this and have to overcome this myself. One is always greater than zero. And so if you don't think, we'll use a different example. If you don't think you have the time to work out, well, if you have 10 minutes that you do something and you do that 4 or 5 times a week, well, that's 40 or 50 minutes. Multiply that by a month and a quarter and a year. Like it's really, truly significant. We oftentimes discount the power of small incremental gains, but small incremental gains compound over time, and that's where the magic happens.
Do you have any other examples of start doing something, stop doing something, or getting better at something? Like concrete examples from maybe like from your Aspire framework that you can think of?
What I would say is, we put the word happiness in the title. And so for those that are unfamiliar with Spire, let me just define what it means so that I can answer your question. So it stands for so Spire is an acronym, stands for spiritual whole being. Now, is that deity related? Not necessarily. It's about purpose, presence, and meaning. So purpose in life. Physical whole being. That's about treating your life as a vessel in every way that that occurs. Intellectual whole being, which is where this kind of kicks in. And that's not necessarily about overtly learning, although it can be. It's about living a life of curiosity, where this kicks in because you're constantly asking yourself, what can be better? Can I do better? And choose a different word. It doesn't have to be better because that could be loaded. It could be differently or more efficient, right? The R stands for relational whole being, how we interact with those around us, because we spend more time with our team than anybody else in our lives. And then emotional whole being, the E, and that's not about toxic positivity with running around with a smile on your face. That's about allowing your emotions to flow through and flow past us. So, really, it's about, okay, how do I look at my practice life? As Dr. Ben Shahar calls it, from a standpoint of whole being, from a standpoint of how do I enjoy dentistry by being present in the moment more versus worrying about the next three patients? How do I honor my body as a vessel so that I do take my lunch break to rest my back or my neck? How do I continue to be intellectually curious to allow me to improve as a clinician? How do I engage with my team to deepen those relationships so that they feel a greater level of ownership so that we become more efficient? And how do I get better, whether that's through coaching or therapy or self-study and discovery, maybe meditation, so that we can embrace the idea that everything that happens in life is neutral and that we're going to allow those negative emotions to flow through and flow past us? So I think it's about an idea of looking at our lives more holistically than many perhaps have done in the past, to bring ourselves forward so that at the end of the day, we have a lot more things that are on our mind that we can look to from a positive perspective versus negative, because they're both always still there. It's just a matter of which ones we choose to focus on.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just looking at one of our clips from a previous episode where you were talking about this, where you were talking about how you can choose how you, what you want to focus on. And I think that could be something that a lot of us could start doing, which would be to understand that it's a choice and that if you truly have self-mastery, you can choose how to respond to things.
Correct. And
I had to do this the other day. I used your NBCA
yes.
framework.
Yes.
So we were going to get our Christmas tree, and my kids were being extremely, I don't know, annoying. They were just, we were in the car and they were screaming at the top of their lungs, which I realize now after having awareness to me is a big trigger for me, like loud noises from children. And the older I get, the more I want things quiet, which is funny because I used to be like in a metal band and wanted everything on 11 volume. And I had to kind of sit there and say, okay, I'm noticing that I'm annoyed. I did a few deep breaths, which is breathing. Then I had to have a choice, which was how do I want to respond? How, because this is a special day for us that we always do, that we always have memories of, and I don't want to be the grump, the Scrooge, of putting up the tree. Then we get home and we do decorations and put the ornaments on. And I was able to choose and act how I wanted to act.
That's awesome.
And it was, even just a few years ago, this would have been a lot more challenging for me. But because of the work that I've put into it, and because of things that I've researched, frameworks I've done, and especially stuff that you've taught me, I just went through that. I went, okay, MBTA, okay, notice. Yes, I'm annoyed right now. I want to scream at my kids. I want to turn around and go home. I don't even want to get the tree today. I breathed a few times and I kind of said, okay, they're little kids, they're excited, and I want this to be a good time. And it turned into a good time.
See, there you go.
That was something I had to get better at.
It's and it does work over time. And I was talking to a colleague over the weekend, somebody that had a kind of a big staff shakeup over late last week. And this is now, in all transparency and candor, this is somebody I've worked with as a client. And he said to me, he goes, "Martin, I this is not my first rodeo. I realize it doesn't do me any good to overreact. I'm gonna choose," he this were his words, "I'm gonna choose to look at this as an opportunity to move forward in a different way to build the team I really want to do." And we won't go into it for confidentiality reasons, but this was a huge shakeup that I would see if you agree with me. Most of our colleagues, it would just ruin their whole month or the rest of the year. Whereas this gentleman's like, "Nope, that's not today,
I
Satan."
mean, the growth in this individual and in many individuals to say, sitting around and moping doesn't do anything for me. And not only that, not only not moping, but he chose to go positive with it and say, I've been trying to change some things up and how we do our policies and my practice, and this allows me to start over. I mean, what an incredible mindset this person has developed. And let's talk about this real quick. This person has spent a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of effort into getting better at this skill. And look, he is.
Not only that, but he's spent a lot of time, money, and skill in clinical
That's right.
teachings
That's
as
true.
well. And so he's very much a holistic individual that's looking to be better. He has a very much a growth mindset, as Carol Dweck defines it, where it's like, "Okay, I'm not a failure. This failed. This team failed. Not I'm a failure. This." And so then therefore, what am I going to learn from this? How am I going to move forward? What are the opportunities? And folks, at the end of the day, everything we just described, they're all thoughts. That's all they are. And all of them are equally as valid as the others, as long as we're not making stuff up in our head. You get my idea. The point is that why is it not just as valid to be this way versus that way? I mean, I've noticed this about dentists, particularly, last week I was with a study club and they were great and they were challenging me and I welcomed the challenge and it was a fine conversation. I'm not saying that it wasn't. Well, at the same time, it really made me stop and think because there was this one individual in particular that was challenging me and then would say that, well, it's really not most of my team. It's just these couple people. And I'm thinking to myself, then why are we spending time on this? Right? And so I think it is useful to spend time in it so that we have the skills. So when the crap does hit the fan, we have tools to deploy. So I think that's valid, but it's just so often we spend so much time worrying about things that already happened, things we can't control, versus flipping it around and being like, okay, this really sucks. I don't like it. It's okay that I don't like it. So what am I going to do about it?
I mean, this has been something when I look at the bucket of stop doing something,
Yeah.
a big push for me was stop thinking that I can control other people's actions.
Amen.
And it's been really great for me this year. Because I'm at this point in my life that you and I have put a lot of work and time and money into this is I'm at this point where I am very self-aware. Of course, I could always get better, but I'm pretty self-aware now to where I notice when I'm having bad feelings and I say to myself, like, oh, this is out of my control. Okay. And I just kind of go on with my life. You know, like if there's something I can do, I'm gonna do it and I'm gonna control it. But if I can't, I used to just sit and suffer and oh my gosh, and what's gonna happen and go down the rabbit hole and spiral. And now I'm kind of like, Like the other day, where was I going? I was going somewhere and I live in a place that has kind of small streets. So if there's construction, you're kind of stuck, right? And so there was somewhere I was going and we were just stuck. We were stuck for like 5 minutes, which wasn't, it's not a huge deal. And I can't even remember where I was going. But usually I would have been like, I got to turn around and I got to go around this. And I just kind of went, okay, we'll wait until the cement truck is done. And I just kind of sat there.
It happened to me today, actually. My business box is about a mile away, and we're recording this before the, in December. And I walk in there and it's backed up. And I got an email and a text that I had a package. I wasn't expecting one. So I'm like, all right, well, what's this? And I'm standing there and oh my gosh, it's taken a long time
Oh, I bet.
in my head. And then I had a similar thought. I haven't even told you this because it just happened. And I thought to myself, how long in the end am I really going to be waiting here? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe 50. Is that really going to make a difference? Now, I have things to do, but and I'm literally like rifling through this in my head. I'm thinking, well, I got to come home. Kyle and I are recording. I have a meeting after that, but all I really need to do is do this and pack because I'm going to see my family tomorrow. I have 15 extra minutes, and it is so transformative when you can finally truly embrace the skill of just filtering and rifling through things. Coming back from the study club last week, I was excited to see the new Terminal A at Newark because I hadn't been there before, and the old security was terrible, like absolutely terrible. Well, the new terminal is gorgeous, but they somehow managed to screw up security even worse. And so with clear and TSA PreCheck, it took me, you ready, 36 minutes
Oh my
to get through.
gosh.
Probably one of the longest security lines I've had to wait in years. And I remember thinking to myself, man, this sucks. Why is this taking so long? Blah, 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 blah. And I stopped myself and I thought, well, shoot, I got here early because that's just kind of the way it worked out. I can wait inside the terminal or I can wait here. Who cares? And it's just so liberating when you can practice these skills to then be able to immediately deploy them. Because you and I get this all the time. Oh, well, you say things so eloquently, it comes off your lips. Yeah, because we practice for years and you can get there too, right? So.
Like you ever see someone that is teaching case acceptance and they do a role play and it's like, oh my gosh, they are so good at doing that. Like they can talk around any anything that the objection that the patient says. How do you think they got that good? By
Absolutely.
practicing. They probably took a course on it. They had a mentor, they had a partner that was looking at that. And or maybe they listened to someone do it over and over and over again. Got good at that. When I look at these three things, ways of being happier in dentistry, stopping doing something, starting doing something, or getting better at doing something, my first inkling for any dental professional listening that wants to take a baby step, wants to do one is better than zero, my first recommendation, I want to see what you think, would be start by stop doing something. I feel like it's easier to stop doing something in general. A lot of us dentists, we like to think more and more and more and more and more because, we kind of grew up in this hustle culture and through dental school, and you got to do more and you got to do more and you got to learn this, and you got to learn this, you got to learn this. I think adding is harder than removing.
And what I would say is, I agree with you 100%. My only challenge back to you, my friend, would be let's do the inventory step first so we can
Totally.
figure out what to stop. But I'm with you. Yeah, no,
Yeah, you
I'm
have
with
to
you
start with that
100%.
awareness.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, let's bring this down to landing. We've talked about ways to be happier in dentistry, and of course in life too, as you say, we're unique and not unique. So there's three things you can do. You can start doing something that you're not doing. You can stop doing something that you are already doing, and you can get better at doing something else. I think we could expand on this. We could maybe even make this into three separate episodes and make
That's true.
lists and lists for people, or we could also get listener ideas on this. But how you think about things in dentistry, and what Martin and I really harp on you guys, is that everything is a skill. You may think when you see someone do something well that they're just a born talent. And that is very rare. Very rare.
It's
Now, there
true.
are people that have better EQ than IQ kind of thing, right? That are easier with talking with people. But even those people, because I would consider myself someone who has a higher EQ than IQ for sure, I still have to practice all this stuff.
100%. 100%. Yeah, I mean, and here's the other thing that I've never even thought of before or haven't thought of in years. Just because somebody happens to have something that comes a little easier to them doesn't mean everything does,
Oh,
right?
that's a good point.
So I think to my college roommate who became an actuary. So if you're not familiar with that, that's mathematics and statistics to figure out, how much to charge a 45-year-old white male for life insurance who lives in Dubuque, Iowa and smokes three packs a day. You get the idea. It's real detailed math. And so it would frustrate me freshman year because he would do all the homework assignments. He never shirked those, but he would literally, I'm not kidding, leaf through the calc book the night before an exam and get the highest grade in the class. And I was like barely holding on. But he was also a diver and he was at the pool almost every day. Dive after dive after dive after dive. And I remember witnessing one time where he was okay, but he hit his nose on the board. And,
Oh my gosh.
so it's like, it's not easy for everybody all the time, no matter what it is you do. And even if certain things come easier to some people, everything still is a skill. And you may have greater aptitude in one area and less aptitude in the other. But at the end of the day, doesn't it, that's what's kind of fun about life, that things kind of balance out in the end, right? So,
So true.
the thought.
Well, guys, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to spend 2 days with Martin and I, we're super fun.
We are.
Come to Glidewell in Irvine, California, in Orange County, very close to Disneyland. Join us on May 9th and 10th. We're doing our 2-day Lightside Live workshop. This is a really, really small group event. Very interactive. You get 12 CE credits, so you can find all of the information on wellnessanddentistry.com. Go to our links, and you'll find the link to Lightside Live. We hope to see you on the next episode. And if you got something out of this and you know someone who may also need to start doing something, stop doing something, or get better at something, send it to a colleague. I know that if Martin sends me something, I look at it immediately, and same thing when I send him something, he looks at it, even if it's a funny meme on Instagram. But it would mean
Which
a
we
lot
do
to
all the
us
time.
if it would mean a lot to us if you sent this to a colleague. And we will see you on the next episode. We'll see you
Take
later.
care.